This morning, we are continuing our work through the book of Acts. We've been in Acts, and we're in the 28th chapter. The last 2 weeks, we began the 28th chapter, and this morning, we'll be looking at verses 17 through 22. And so if you would follow along on your screen, I will read the passage aloud. We'll pray, and then we'll look at this text together. Acts chapter 28, beginning in verse 17. After 3 days, he called together the local leaders of the Jews, and when they had gathered, he said to them, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they had examined me, they wished to set me at liberty, because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I'm wearing this chain." And they said to him, "We have received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken any evil about you. But we desire to hear from you and what your views are, for with regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." Would you please join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this word. We thank you that you have, Lord, called us to be your people. You have called us out of darkness. You have called us out of the world. And by your Son, Jesus Christ, you have made us your people. We are now people of light, people of righteousness. We are your people. People have received mercy. And so we ask this morning, Lord, that as your people, you would work among us, that we would see you in your word, that we would glorify you, that we would praise your holy name. You're a good God. And so be here among us this morning, that we would do all of that for your glory. By the work of your Spirit, we ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, this month is May Ministry Partnership Month. We've been talking about it the last few weeks. And I just want to remind you that during this month, we are highlighting the ministries of our church. And we're trying to partner you and your gifts and your abilities with the various ministries of our church. We're asking you to consider whether or not God is leading you to be involved and to volunteer and serve in these ministries. And so this morning, we'll be highlighting the children's and youth ministries. We mentioned them in our announcements. One of our elders prayed for these various ministries in the prayer of intercession. And during the preaching of God's word, I'll be speaking with you briefly about the needs that we have in our children's and youth ministries. And so if you would consider whether or not God is leading you to serve in this summer and coming fall with those ministries, we would greatly appreciate that. Now let me ask you to turn your attention to Acts chapter 28. And I have to tell you, as I read this passage, one of the things that always comes to my mind when I read Acts 28 verse 20 is a very particular picture in my mind. You see, in verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, "I'm wearing these chains." And it's very similar to the words that he speaks in his letter to the Philippians or to the Ephesians, speaking about wearing chains. But that phrase always brings to my mind a picture of Mr. T. Mr. T is the character many of you are aware of who was in the TV show The A-Team. He also played in various movies, and he always played the same character. He had this tall mohawk. He always sported these big muscles. He played the bad boy persona in every film that he was in. And he always had this distinct feature. He wore these big gold chains around his neck. That's the thing that comes to my mind when I read this phrase from the Apostle Paul, wearing these chains. Now, we know that the Apostle Paul wasn't wearing gold chains. We also know that he didn't wear these chains around his neck like Mr. T. But I have to say, that's the immediate picture that comes to my attention. It doesn't help that if you read this passage in the Greek, it doesn't just say that he's wearing these chains. But if you read this passage in the Greek, the Apostle Paul actually says, "It's for the hope of Israel that I'm enwrapped in or enthralled in these chains." And so it cultivates that picture in our minds. But what exactly does the Apostle Paul mean? That he's wearing these chains, that he's wrapped in these chains. For if we continue reading in Scripture, we find the Apostle Paul really not wearing many chains at all. When he's imprisoned in Caesarea, or when he's under house arrest in Rome, he's given large freedoms to go and come as he pleases. And the only chain that binds him is one particular chain to the guard who is with him. And so what does the Apostle Paul mean when he says, I am wearing these chains, I'm enwrapped in these chains? Well, I believe as we read more of Paul later in his epistles, and as we understand him here in the book of Acts, he's not speaking about literal or physical chains. I believe the Apostle Paul is speaking about figurative chains. And I believe what he means as he mentions wearing chains, I believe he's speaking about this servitude that the Lord God has called him to, a self-denial, a denying of his own ambitions, of his own plans, of his own desires, for the sake of the gospel that he is bringing to the people that he has been called to. He's speaking about this servitude that he's been called to, and he's referring to it as these chains that the Lord God has called him to wear for the sake of the people that he preaches to. And so this morning, as we look at this passage, I want to encourage you, we're going to be looking at the chains that the Apostle Paul is wearing. But I want you to be aware that even in his epistles, as he writes to the churches, he always exhorts them not only to reflect upon his own chains, but he always calls Christians, wherever they are, to also wear chains for the sake of the gospel. And as we look at this passage this morning, I want to exhort and encourage you along the same lines. We are called just as the Lord Jesus, just as the Apostle Paul, to wear chains for the sake of the gospel and its proclamation with the people where God has placed us. And so this morning, we're looking at this very thing. Now, the first thing we see as we look at this passage is that the Apostle Paul in this text is a prisoner. He's a prisoner, and that's what he calls himself very often in his letters, but he's a prisoner without offense. He's a prisoner without offense. Let me explain the first few verses that we began reading this morning. We could talk about them as regards this first point. You remember that previously the Apostle Paul was shipwrecked on the island of Malta, and in the very preceding verses here, he makes his way to the city of Rome. And when he gets to the city of Rome, we pick up in verse 17, and we hear that after 3 days, he called together the local leaders of the Jews. And so we see that as the Apostle Paul arrives in Rome, he's very quick to gather the leaders from the Jews who are in Rome. And we know that there are at least 11 synagogues in Rome at this time. The historians believe with evidence of 11 synagogues, there must have been at least a double that in existence during this time. And so maybe as much as 20 synagogues in Rome. The Apostle Paul arrives there and he sends out his companions, other Christian brothers. He sends them out to gather the Jewish leaders from all of the synagogues and to call them to Paul that he might have an audience with these Jews in Rome. And the passage continues, and the Apostle Paul says, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans." And so the Apostle Paul is aware that as these Jewish leaders are gathered to him, the first question that they had on their mind is probably, why is this Jewish man from Jerusalem here in chains? Why is he here to stand trial? What has happened that has led to these events? And so the Apostle Paul says to them very clearly, listen, guys, I want you to know, I have done nothing against the customs of our people. I have done nothing against God and his people and his word. I want to be very clear about the fact that I have committed no offense against Jerusalem. And so the Apostle Paul goes on to explain. He says that he was brought in Jerusalem to be on trial with the Roman officials. But he says in verse 19 that the Roman officials found nothing that was deserving of the death penalty. As a matter of fact, he says that they were even willing to set him free, which is to communicate that they had discovered that the Apostle Paul was innocent, that there was nothing that they could hold him for. There was nothing that they could try him for. Now, at this point, the Jews in Rome, as they're listening to the Apostle Paul speak, they're probably thinking, okay, then why are you standing here before us? Why have you been brought in chains to Rome? And the first idea that might have been on their minds is that the Apostle Paul is here in Rome because he's bringing a countersuit. A countersuit was what a person who was wrongfully being convicted or being accused could bring a countersuit against the party that had accused them. And so they were suspecting probably that the Apostle Paul was here in Rome to bring a countersuit against the Jews from Jerusalem. And so the Apostle Paul clarifies the situation. He says in verse 19, "But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation." See, the Apostle Paul communicates here to the Jews in Rome that he's not here to accuse the Jews from Jerusalem. He's not here to bring a countersuit. Now, if you think about these first few verses in this passage, verses 17 through 20, it's interesting here because we see the Apostle Paul making a defense to the Jews in Rome. And one of the things we can clearly hear him articulating is that though he's a prisoner and though he's on trial, he means to communicate to them that he had committed no offense against Jerusalem. He had committed no offense against the Jews. As a matter of fact, he had gone out of his way not to bring a lawsuit against the Jews when he had been found innocent, though he might have been justified in doing so. He had gone above and beyond to continue to serve the people that he had been called to. And so he communicates to the Jews here in Rome that he is a prisoner, but he's a prisoner without offense, that he had committed no crime against the Jews, and he wanted to be very clear about that fact. Now, I believe as we consider this passage, as we think about what it means to live in chains for the sake of the gospel, that's a very important point that goes into the message and the proclamation of the Apostle Paul. You see, because if you read later in verse 22, the Jews who have been gathered for the Apostle Paul, they say to Paul, "Listen, Paul, we don't know anything about you. We haven't heard about you. But what do they say about Christianity?" They say, we want to hear about this sect. We want to hear about Christianity because we know it is the thing that is being spoken about everywhere and it is being spoken against everywhere. You see, in their impression, Christianity had been being spoken about everywhere they went, but it was spoken about as being false and being wrong and being dangerous and being inaccurate. And so that was their conclusion of Christianity. Could you imagine then if the Apostle Paul had arrived in Rome bringing a countersuit against the Jews of Jerusalem? Could you imagine what that would have done to his testimony as it regarded Christianity? If the Apostle Paul had arrived in Rome and said, "Hey guys, I'm here and I'm here to bring a suit against the Jews from Jerusalem. I'm here with offense. I'm here against you, standing in opposition." You see, the Jews from Rome would have probably said, "Yeah, of course, this is what we thought. This is what we concluded about Christians. Christianity just does terrible things to people." But the Apostle Paul appears before them, and he appears as a prisoner for the sake of the gospel. And he says to the Jews who stand before him, he says to them, "I am committed to going above and beyond to serve you for the sake of the gospel. I have gone out of my way to serve you at every corner and at every turn." This is why the Apostle Paul often describes himself as a bondservant of the Lord. So the first question I want to ask you this morning, as you consider that we are prisoners for the gospel, that we ought to be prisoners without offense, have you considered how your actions, your words, and your demeanor are received by the people around you? Have you considered, and do you think about your actions and your demeanor, how they might be perceived, the things that you say and the things that you don't say? Have you considered how your body language, your interaction with your neighbors and your community, have you considered how that might affect the gospel? Have you considered how people might look at you and say, "Oh, look what Christianity does to a person. Look at them, they're a Christian, and of course they would act like this." Might we be encouraged that those around us would be able to look at us and say, "Look what Jesus Christ does to a person. Look at how they're willing to serve and to go out of their way to be in chains for the sake of the people that they've been called to." And so the first question is very simple. Have you considered how your demeanor, how your actions, how your words might affect the proclamation of the gospel? See, the Apostle Paul was a prisoner without offense. The second thing, though, that we see here in this passage is that the Apostle Paul embraces. He embraces the chains. He embraces the chains that have been wrapped around him, the chains that have enthralled him, the chains that have been laid upon him. You see, as we look at this passage, I believe that the primary verse, or the one that is paramount in this text, is verse 20. Because verse 20, Paul says, "For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I'm wearing this chain." Since it is because of the hope of Israel that I'm wearing this chain. I mentioned earlier how the Greek in this passage doesn't actually say wearing this chain. And I want to talk about that word just for a second. In verse 20, the Greek word that is written here concerning the chain that the Apostle Paul is wearing is the word perikemai. Perikemai, the prefix peri means to be around, about or around. And then the suffix here, kemai. Perikemai. The suffix means to lay. And so literally this compound word means laying around or lying around. Now, that's probably can be used as a funny joke, because you might consider what your children have been doing for the last 8 weeks. Many of them have been laying around the house. That's what this word means, laying around. But here in this passage, it's written in the passive voice. And see, what that means is very simple. The passive voice is meant to convey an action that's not being done by you, but it's an action that's being done to you. You're very passive in what's happening. And so being written in the passive voice, what this phrase literally says is the Apostle Paul is communicating here, it is for the hope of Israel that these chains have been laid upon me, that these chains have been laid around me, that I've been enwrapped in these chains. It is for the sake of the hope of Israel. And you see, with that, we get a very important picture of what the Apostle Paul is communicating here. Because the Apostle Paul has been the one who has been enwrapped by these chains. But the question we must ask then is, who is enwrapping the Apostle Paul with these chains? Who has laid these chains upon the Apostle Paul? And it is very conclusive and clear as we read this passage that Paul means to communicate that it is the Lord God who has enchained him for the sake of the hope of Israel. It is the Lord God who has laid these chains upon the Apostle Paul, who has wrapped him in these chains so that he might proclaim the gospel to this people. You see, on one hand, the Apostle Paul is saying he has voluntarily committed himself to servitude for the sake of the people of God. But on the other hand, he's communicating that it is God who has in fact enchained him. Both of those things are true in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Both of those things are true as we read Scripture. As you see, God calls us to chains. He calls each one of us to chains. But the beauty of Scripture, and one of the most challenging thoughts that we can read, is just as God calls us to chains, so it is often the Lord God who supplies those chains. It is God who wraps us in chains for the sake of the gospel. As you think about that idea, I want to read to you a quote from W.A. Criswell, who was a Baptist preacher in the 1950s. As he was preaching through this text, listen to what he said to his people as he preached this passage. He says, a handicap is a compliment from God. The chain is a compliment from heaven. I couldn't tell you the number of times dear, blessed, sainted members of this church come to me and they say, "Pastor, I am invalid and I can't come. Or I am sick and I'm not able to leave this house. And all I can do is pray. All I can do is pray. As though to stand before the throne of God and intercede for this ministry and this work would be a slight and a little thing to do. Handicap, it may be the instrument and the means of the greatest blessings our church could ever, ever know. What we can, we do. There's an endless illustration of that. John Bunyan, 12 years, God kept him in prison. That's why you have the incomparable allegory of Pilgrim's Progress, that iron chain. The hymn they were singing when I was converted, it's the hymn, "There is a fountain filled with blood." It's the hymn we'll sing as we conclude our service this morning. That hymn was written by William Cowper. William Cowper, had he not been driven, had he not been lost, had he not been in spiritual despair and then finally found the Savior, you would have never had that hymn, never. You see, many of you, as the pastor was saying here, many of you voluntarily serve the Lord. And you would be committed to the gospel, yet God has chosen in his hidden wisdom to place some sort of chains on you. Something that has hindered you. Something that has been painful to you. Something that has kept you from being or doing what you believe God wanted you to do. Some sort of hindrance that you've connected with the fall, that you've connected with sin. And yet, as we read in this passage, and as we see often in the life of Paul, it is God in his infinite wisdom who ordains these chains. It is God who ordains these hindrances that we perceive as hindrances. The Lord God is using you in ways that he can't use any of the other people who don't also share your same chains. As W.A. Criswell called it, your handicap, your thing that keeps you back. It may be the instrument and the means of the greatest blessing our church could ever, ever know. And I want to remind you, as Criswell said in his sermon, I want to remind you, if the only thing that you're able to do is to pray, if the only thing that you're able to contribute to the church or to your family or to your brothers and sisters in Christ is prayer, then thank God for saints who are willing to commit themselves to prayer. Thank God for praying saints. And my encouragement to you would be to pray, and to pray often, and to pray for many, and to pray for your church and for your leaders. Commit yourself to prayer, but thank God for many saints who all they can do is pray, because the ministry of prayer is such an important one. And so my encouragement to you is that God has given you chains. He has given each of us chains, that through those chains, we might be ministers of the gospel, even simply through the power of prayer. That's the second point. Now, the third point is connected with these two points. It's very simple. You see, the Apostle Paul here is a prisoner without a fence. We see that in the first few verses. The Apostle Paul here embraces the chains, not only that he has chosen voluntarily, but the chains that have been laid upon him by the Lord God. But finally, the third point is very simple this morning. You see, as we think about this, the Apostle Paul also answers the question of why. What's the purpose of being in chain? What's the purpose of being a prisoner for the Lord God? And he says here in this passage that it is for the hope of Israel. It is for the hope of Israel. And in that passage, the word for can often be used in a number of ways, but the word for in that passage is really the for of purpose. It is for this very reason, or it is on account of the hope of Israel that I am wearing these chains. Now, as you think about that phrase, for the hope of Israel, I want you to know this is the first time that we ever hear the Apostle Paul use this phrase. To my knowledge, it's the last time the Apostle Paul uses this phrase, but it's a very particular phrase. You see, earlier in the book of Acts, Paul had used the word hope. He had used it many times. He said he was on trial for the hope of the resurrection. He says that he was on trial for hope in general. He speaks about hope in God, a future hope in God. But this is the first time he brings up the phrase, the hope of Israel. And I want you to know that that's a very particular phrase. You see, that phrase is used often in the Old Testament. And as we think about that phrase, the hope of Israel, that particular phrase meant something very specific to the Jews who were listening. You see, because the hope of Israel, most good Jews knew this, the hope of Israel was not the law, it was not the temple, it was not the customs, it was not rituals or people. The hope of Israel was the Lord God and his Messiah, the Savior of the people of God. That is the hope of Israel. It's a phrase, as I mentioned, is repeated often in the Old Testament. Let me read you one of those times where we see this phrase. We see it in Jeremiah. And the prophet Jeremiah uses this phrase often, but we see it specifically here in chapter 17. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, the prophet Jeremiah says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" And then the prophet Jeremiah says this, "O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth, for they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water." You hear him there in that verse saying, O Lord, the hope of Israel. O Lord, the hope of Israel. And then he calls the Lord the fountain of living water. You see, it's clear as we read this passage that we get to verse 20 that the Apostle Paul is saying to the Jews who are listening, listen, it is because of the Messiah. It is because of the Lord's anointed one, the Holy One of Israel. It is because of him that I am wearing these chains. He is your hope. He is the hope of all Israel. You see, it amazes me because it's clear that's what the Apostle Paul is speaking about. It amazes me then in verse 22 that as Paul finishes his introduction to the leaders of the temples of Rome, it amazes me that they say to him, well, we want to hear you about this. We'd like to hear more about the hope of Israel. We'd like to hear more about the Messiah, the anointed one of God. It amazes me that they're open to hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul says in this passage, it's on account of, or it's because of, it is for the purpose of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, that I am enchained, that I am imprisoned, that I am a servant, that I have enslaved myself to you. It is for the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question that I want to ask you this morning as we conclude looking at this text is very simple. Do your people, the people that you interact with, does your family, do your neighbors, does your community, do your co-workers know that it is for the Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed one of Israel, that you are enchained, that you are a servant, that you are serving them? And do they know that it is for their sake that the Lord Jesus has come, that it is for their hope that Christ has come? You see, it's not simply enough to be a prisoner. It's not simply enough to be enchained. These things in and of themselves, they're good things, but it's not simply enough to be a prisoner or be enchained. You see, we may celebrate those who suffer in humility and who serve others. But suffering and serving is not enough on its own. We must suffer and serve and be enchained for the sake of or on account of the hope of the people of God. That is the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do the people that you serve, do they know that you do it for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do they know that you do it on account of the Holy One of God? Remember how I started this sermon this morning by talking about Mr. T. Mr. T, the man who wore those gold chains. I once heard an interview with Mr. T, and they were asking him about the gold chains that he wore, and he made a comment there that he thought that he wore about 40 pounds of gold chains. Could you imagine 40 pounds of gold chains around your neck? I have to imagine it's probably pretty bad for your posture. But Mr. T, as he spoke, he said he wore these pounds and pounds of gold chains. And I want you to know that you've been called to wear chains for the sake of hope in Christ. You have been called as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ to wear chains. Chains of self-denial. Chains of servitude and gratitude. Chains of hospitality. Chains of mercy. Chains that will be inconvenient and exhausting, because chains always are. Chains that God has called you to wear, chains of hope. And so my question is, what chains has God called you to wear for the sake of hope? In what ways has God called you to forfeit your own ambitions, your own pride, your own desires, your own comfortability? In what ways has God called you to forfeit those things for the hope of the gospel? See, this morning I mentioned to you that we're highlighting our ministries, and this morning we're highlighting children and youth ministries at Mercy. Children and youth ministries here at Mercy Presbyterian Church. And in our children's ministries, we have various children's ministries at Mercy. We have a children's ministry director. It's Laura Tyrrell. She directs our children's ministries. And she oversees the various ministries. And we have nursery. And we have children's Sunday school. And we have a children's church. We call it Equip for Worship. We have a vacation Bible school that we do each summer for children of our church and of our community. And we have youth ministries. We have a youth director. You see, in each of those ministries, we need volunteers. And so one of the things I want to call you to this morning is wearing chains for the sake of the children of our church. Wearing chains for the sake of the children of our church. To do our children's ministries well at Mercy, we need at least 65 volunteers. We need 35 to 40 people to serve in the nursery. We need 12 people willing to teach children's Sunday school. We need another 12 to do children's church. And that doesn't even count the number of volunteers we need for vacation Bible school. We need 5 or 6 willing and faithful volunteers to serve the teenagers of our church. We have a church that's filled with children and teenagers. And so I want to call you this morning to consider whether God is calling you to wear chains for the sake of the children of our church. To wear chains for the teenagers of our church. Now you might be sitting at home saying, why is the pastor talking about children's ministry as if it's a terrible thing? Like you have to wear chains, like it's a really painful thing to do. I love children's ministry, and maybe you do. And children's ministry is often very rewarding and exciting. But I have to tell you, to serve the children of our church, it requires a time commitment. It requires a sacrificing of your own desires. It requires a sacrificing of your own time. It requires a sacrificing maybe even of some of your own goals. It requires you to live a life of self-denial and self-sacrificing to serve other people. But I believe that's exactly what God calls us to as we look at this passage. You see, the children of our church are waiting to hear the hope of the Messiah. They're waiting to hear about the truth of Jesus Christ, God's anointed one, the Savior of the people of God. And so I want to encourage you to think about whether you could commit yourself to wearing chains for the sake of the hope of the people of God. If you're interested in serving in that capacity, I would encourage you to fill out our ministry form, How Can I Serve? If you're interested or need more details, I would encourage you to contact the various ministry leaders of those ministries, or you could even email me. I would be glad to tell you about the ways that God is at work in the many children and the families and the teenagers of our church. You see, as we consider this passage and as we wrap up our look at this text this morning, it is for this hope that the Apostle Paul was a prisoner without offense, who embraced the chains that God had given to him. You see, as a prisoner, as a bondservant, as a man who wore the chains of the gospel, the Apostle Paul spoke about another. He spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul was simply living as Christ Jesus had lived. The Lord Jesus Christ came to earth and he wore chains for our sake. He took on human flesh. Those were chains that the Lord Jesus Christ took on. He took on the chains of sin and death. He wore those chains for our sake. And he was crucified on a cross, bearing the chains of sin and death, that we might be made the people of God. But you know what the beautiful truth is? You know what the hope of the gospel is? Those chains, the chains of sin and death, could not hold the Lord Jesus Christ. He cast those chains off as he conquered sin and death. He raised again victoriously to new life. And now he intercedes on our behalf. And he set the captives free. And so the exhortation that Christ left with, the one that he delivered to the apostles, the one that the Apostle Paul now exhorts and encourages Christians everywhere to take up, is the call, because we have been freed, that we might now live in chains. Because we have been set free, that we might now commit ourselves to servitude. That we might commit ourselves to the servitude of righteousness for the sake of Christ. that we might commit ourselves to a servitude of gratitude, a servitude of humility, to wearing the chains of patience and the chains of love and of mercy for the sake of the gospel. And so my final word to you this morning is that Christians everywhere in your homes, Christians who are hearing the proclamation of God's word, who will read this passage, is very simple. Let us be, each one of us, let us be enchained for the sake of hope. Let us be enchained for the sake of the hope of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of God's people. May we seek, may we come before the throne of God inquiring how He will enchain us, how He will commit us to servitude for the sake of the gospel. He calls us to that as He called the Apostle Paul. So my encouragement to you is very simple. How has He called you? How has He equipped you? How has He enchained you for the sake of the hope of Israel? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before You and we thank You, Lord, that You have revealed Yourself through Your word. And we thank You this morning that You have shown us through the Apostle Paul what it looks like to live as a follower of Christ. We thank You that Christ Jesus did not come for His own agenda or for His own ambition, but that He came to enchain Himself. He took on our flesh. He humbled Himself to death on a cross. And as He went to the cross, He enchained to Himself our sin and our rebellion. And He took it to the cross. He bore the wrath of God the Father. He bore Your wrath. That in His conquering death and His conquering sin and His conquering the grave, He might cast off those chains once and forevermore, that we might be set free. And so now we ask, Lord, as those who have been set free, that You would encourage us not to use our freedom for our own ambition and for our own sake, but that we would use our freedom for the sake of the gospel, that we would voluntarily enchain ourselves, that we would voluntarily commit to servitude for the sake of the hope of Israel. Lord, help us to consider where You have placed us and where You have asked us to commit ourselves to serve others. Lord, give us a burden to serve as You have served us. We love You and we thank You. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.